You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Kevin Wilds. We got Brian Westbrook with us coming up on a Wednesday morning. Couple of questions I'm going to throw at you. Is it make or break time for Baker Mayfield? Are the Patriots now tanking for Trevor? And is it the beginning of the end for Aaron Rodgers? All to be discussed. Let's start with that last one right there in Green Bay for the draft choice that still has us all talking. Instead of drafting Aaron Rodgers' next star wide receiver, the Packers went in a different direction. Instead, they chose his replacement in Jordan Love. Packers columnist Bob McGinn thinks head coach Matt LaFleur knew exactly what he was doing, saying, quote, "Public niceties aside, my sense is LaFleur, fresh from a terrific 13-3 baptismal season, simply had enough of Rodgers' act, wanted to change the narrative. With a first-round talent on the roster, the Packers would gain leverage with their imperial quarterback and his passive-aggressive style. If the Packers do indeed want to become a running team next season, they surely wouldn't want Rodgers rocking the boat and becoming even more difficult to coach." Wow. Nick, we made so much of this relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur coming into last season, only to be seemingly, I don't know, surprised that we didn't hear a peep. Did this McGinn article surprise you?
Who the hell do these people think they are? And by these people, I mean the brain trust of the Green Bay Packers. People need to know who Bob McGinn is. Bob McGinn worked for, I believe it was the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for years, has covered this team for decades, is as plugged into the Packers as Tom Curran is with the Patriots or any of the on-the-ground beat writers, even though he now works for The Athletic and covers the NFL in general. So this is an informed column with informed speculation. And every single one of these quotes makes me angrier than the previous. They're sick and tired of Rodgers' act. What act is that? Carrying your franchise for the last decade, carrying your team that hasn't given him a top 10 defense in any year of the 2010s, is that the act you're sick of? They want to become a more running team. You know who wants to become a running team in 2020? Teams without quarterbacks. Nobody wants to focus on the run in 2020 unless you have to. That is, I can't wait for the next NBA GM to say, you know what? We looked at our roster, and mid-range jump shots and post-ups are the way for us to go. It's asinine. And then they say more difficult, doesn't want him to become even more difficult to coach. Like, at some point, Aaron Rodgers needs to fire back. Brian Gutekunst, the GM there, have you bathed yourself in glory in your 3 years running that team? I know your first year, your first decision, your first draft, Derwin James is on the board. And you say, who needs him? Let's trade out of the pick. Matt LaFleur, who Rodgers supported publicly. What's his CV? What's his football resume look like? Well, he coordinated the Rams. He left, and their offense got markedly better. Went from 10th to 2nd. Then he coordinated the Titans, and he left, and their offense got way better. Went from 25th to 12th. Then he went to Green Bay, and their offense got worse. Went from 12th to 18th. Who do these people think they are to act like Aaron Rodgers is their problem rather than their solution to all of their problems? And so they are waging a not-so-silent war against the best player in the history of their franchise, and I'm angry on his behalf, Kevin Wilds.
I thought that was just wonderful. I thought that was just fantastic. And a great way for America to wake up, especially if you're living in Wisconsin. So, Jenna, I had a different take on it. It's similar to Nick, so it's in the same vein. Basically, it reminded me of, like, foreign policy. So you can either have the carrot or the stick. That's what they always talk about, which means that foreign policy can work by incentives or threats. And I'm shocked when Aaron Rodgers was out there, and I think he went on McAfee's show, And he's like, yeah, it'd be nice to get some weapons in the first round. That would be the incentive to change Aaron Rodgers' behavior or attitude or whatever you're claiming in this column. But instead, they went with the stick. Instead, they're like, well, here's the threat of Jordan Love. I thought it was the wrong decision. And also, bravo to Nick. Nick, that was just tremendous. And I'm happy for you as a teammate, buddy.
Oh. Thanks. I'm angry. Well, Rodgers is awesome, right? Jenna. And I'm angry about how he's being talked about.
I know you're angry, but this is something we should mention. 3 days before the draft, the Packers GM came out and said, if there's a good quarterback out there, we're going to try to go get him because everything's about drafting around a quarterback. That was before the draft started, so this was already in their plans. I think one of the most surprising things to be pulled from this, though, Brian, is this relationship. We heard about this supposed deterioration of a relationship between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, but we thought everything was great last year. They had a great season. They played well. Aaron Rodgers, maybe not his best year, but he played. Are you surprised at how quickly or the inference that there are problems in Green Bay between the head coach and the star quarterback?
You know what? I am kind of surprised because at the beginning of the season, just like you mentioned, I thought there may be some issues because the Green Bay Packers are Aaron Rodgers' football team. And when you bring a new coach in, they want to have the loudest voice in the building. They want to make sure that the team vibes and feels and they kind of run off of the coach, not the quarterback. And when you have Aaron Rodgers, you have a consummate pro, you have a Hall of Fame type of quarterback, and you also have a guy that's going to throw 26 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. You have a guy that's going to lead you to the NFC Championship game and 13 wins during the regular season. So to me, that's the best of both worlds. You have a guy that can lead you, and he's a proven winner. The problem that I think in this situation, and I'll just start here, I don't have a problem with the Packers drafting Jordan Love. The biggest problem that I have with the Packers is that they didn't find any other weapons to help Aaron Rodgers on the outside. They didn't have anyone else to be opposite Davante Adams. That's the problem that I have, that they didn't find any other receivers in the draft or free agency to help Aaron Rodgers. Not the fact that they drafted Jordan Love, because at some point, Jordan Love will be the quarterback of the future for the Packers. But it's the point that they didn't help Aaron Rodgers right now. Teams are looking, and to Nick's point, teams are looking for quality quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers. They're trying to find a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who is very similar to Aaron Rodgers. Every team in the league is trying to find this type of talent. You're telling me you don't want to put talent around him and you would rather push him to his side for a first-round rookie? To me, that just doesn't make any sense. How about you try to find a way to help your quarterback? And here's another thing that you can do if you're the Green Bay Packers. You can find a way to stiffen up that defense a little bit, because in the NFC Championship game, you got 285 rushing yards crammed down your throat. It wasn't all Aaron Rodgers' fault that you lost that game, but maybe if your defense stepped up and played better at that point in time, that you would have actually played in the Super Bowl this season.
But Nick, also, who cares if he's a little moody? And who cares if he's a little passive aggressive or whatever, a little imperial? Isn't that okay if you're a one percenter, if you're a guy who's carried an organization for the last couple of years? Shouldn't you be given that right?
There you go. Jenna, thank you. That is exactly correct, Jenna Wolf. What do coaches think they're there for? They are there to support their best players. This idea that the you know what sports organizations are? A collection of players. That's all they are. Everyone else involved, their whole role is to supplement those players and put them in the best position. To quote one of my favorite lines from any television show ever, is Dom Draper saying, I forget who was saying it to, I think Peggy, when she was saying, you never say thank you. And he looks at her and he says, that's what the money's for. Hey, guess what, LaFleur? Your whole job is to make Aaron Rodgers feel appreciated, loved, and respected. Brian Gutekunst, the hell do you think you do around here? It is not wage silent war against your best player. It is to put him in the best position to succeed. And Kevin, I think Brian's point about 285 rushing yards is a great one, or the fact that Rodgers was sacked, I think, 11 times, sacked or fumbled 11 times in the two games against the Niners, if I have those numbers right. It's not just that they didn't draft a receiver. It's that they had, by regular season and postseason success, the second best year they've had in his entire career. And in the with their most valuable asset, Wilds, they took someone who they hope will play zero snaps, even if it's not a wide receiver. Take a D tackle. Take a corner. Take the kid from the D2 school the Patriots took. I don't care. Take someone who might get on the field for you instead of a guy who's because you're trying to send a message to Rodgers. It doesn't make sense to me, Wilds.
All right, so Nick, I know more than anything in this world, you value take integrity. Take integrity is the paramount of the Nick Wright mountain.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, I support Aaron Rodgers, and you know I support Tom Brady. But Dusty, our researcher, is much more cold and calculating than I am. And I said, Dusty, is there any devil's advocate type thing that justifies maybe Aaron Rodgers is on the decline? And Dusty, not me, Dusty, our researcher, gave us this graphic, and I wanted to put it up to you because I know you value take integrity, and you've been killing my guy, Tom Brady, but there is some like, uh-oh, oh boy. Nick, what's your reaction to this? This is not great, and it made me think like, oh, maybe this is a little similar to like my guy, Brady. Now, they both win a lot of games, but I know you love take integrity, so I wanted your take on this.
Okay, yeah, so my take on this is, if you leave this graphic up, please, because there's a lot of signs of why you had to massage it. First of all, I love the rankings from week 9 to 17. That's a ranking that doesn't exist anywhere.
This is Dusty, it's not me.
Rodgers' worst game and start it there. Okay, that's fine, whatever it is. Secondarily, what it doesn't have on there is touchdown interception ratio, where Rodgers, as Brian Westbrook mentioned, was 26-4. What it also does not have on there is Brady was doing that with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers was doing it with Matt LaFleur, who wants to evidently become more of a running team for reasons that I don't understand. Now, if the argument is Aaron Rodgers is no longer A-plus most talented, most arm talent we've ever seen playing at his peak, I agree with that. He's no longer the year he had when it was, I think, 41 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. He had some unbelievable seasons. He's not that anymore. He's still the best player on their team, Brian. And I want to kick it to you, Brian. You have immense love for Andy Reid. At any point, did it feel like Andy Reid was working back channels in the media to undercut his best players? Or was he always putting his arms around you guys as one of his best players?
You know what? I think you're right, Nick. Andy Reid never threw his players out there in front of the media to make them look crazy or silly or blame his players in the media, which is one of the reasons that a lot of his players love him. He was always embracing, trying to get the best out of his players. And I think you have a point here. What you would want to do with Aaron Rodgers is try to get the best of him while you have him for the next 2 or 3 years. To me, this seems to go in the opposite direction of that. And when you have good players like Aaron Rodgers, because there's no guarantee that Jordan Love is going to be a quality quarterback, you have to make sure that you take care of him. And so I think you're absolutely right. Andy Reid would never do this because the quarterback position in general is a sensitive position. You don't play with the quarterback's mind or the kicker's mind, and you're playing with his mind just a little bit by not getting him weapons and bringing in Jordan Love.
I like it. I like it, Brian. Basically, who are the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers this past year or years prior? Got to take a break. Welcome back. Time for a little drawing a blank. So among the many things that keep our guy Nick up at night, the rumor that free agent quarterback Cam Newton, his guy, might join the New England Patriots. Not to worry, though, Nick. A recent report says Cam is not in New England's plans. And if that is indeed the case, I ask you this. The Patriots' decision to pass on Cam Newton would be blank.
Indefensible. It would make me happy. But there's no, if they are not interested in him now, if Cam's not interested in them, if Cam wants more money, if Cam doesn't want to play in that system, I would say it's foolish of Cam, but then it's out of their hands. But if they're not interested in him at all, it's indefensible. And I read Tom Curran's column, and I like Tom a lot, but he slipped a line in there, which is that Jared Stidham would have been the second-ranked quarterback in this year's draft. But Was I dead for Jared Stidham's great year at Auburn that I missed, where Jared Stidham had been ranked ahead of Tua Tagovailoa on any human being's board if he was in this year's draft? So the idea that they would just not be interested in Cam, if they can't make the money work, fine. But to me, Brian, it would be indefensible.
You know, to me, Nick, it will be traditional. This sounds exactly like the Patriots, something that they would do. They want a guy that's hungry, a guy that's humble, and a guy that's coachable. And for some crazy reason, they don't think Cam is that guy. In my belief, Cam is exactly the type of guy that they want. He is humble, he's hungry, and he's coachable. So there's been a thought when Cam was in Carolina that he just wasn't any of those things. And here's the deal. Cam had to carry that team. He had to do all those things to just make that team relevant. If he goes to a team like New England, he can be coachable. He can be coached up. He can be put that team into a situation where they could win. Bill Belichick will have a great quarterback and a great leader in Cam Newton. So to me, this is a huge mistake not going after Cam. But I'm not surprised, because this is traditionally what the Patriots would do.
Jenna, you know, at the end of my expensive haircuts, the guy goes and leaves and he brings back a eucalyptus towel. And he grabs my face and he puts a eucalyptus towel and he presses really hard. And it is so calming and so wonderful. I've actually gone home and Googled eucalyptus towels at home just because I want to be relaxed. That's how I feel with this Cam news. We've been running crazy music. And every other day, Katanik's like, Kevin, can we do this Photoshop of Joe Namath? Maybe they signed Joe Namath. And it's just constantly stressy here. We got Cam, and then there's a 201. And spoiler alert, later on, we got college players in Patriots uniform. It's too much for me. It's too much for me. It's breaking news. I am on the Stidham train. I am in a nice car. Oh, I'm in the Acela train. It's wonderful. I'm out on all the Photoshops. We can give the graphic designers the week off. No more Patriots Photoshops. Calming. I'm just a calm eucalyptus towel, Jenna.
Wow.
Okay. By the way, great idea, the eucalyptus towel. Wow, love it. Maybe we're all missing the boat on Jared Stidham. There's obviously something that none of us see that Bill Belichick does, unless we were all right.
He
wants to go win without Tom Brady and show the world. All right. You do see it. You and your towel, you see it. Nice haircut, by the way. I like you differentiating between the expensive ones and the non-expensive ones. On to the Dallas Cowboys. They received high praise for stealing wide receiver CeeDee Lamb in the first round and finishing with a stellar 2020 draft class. So much so that a Bleacher Report column said, quote, Jerry Jones just set his team up to be in the Super Bowl conversation for years to come. So, Nick, the Cowboys' Super Bowl window after the draft this year is blank.
As open as ever, and I'll explain my answer in just a moment, but I can't allow what just happened to pass without response. Nothing has ever been less surprising than the fact that Kevin Wildes gets $200 haircuts by a dude named Armando, who then rubs his face with a eucalyptus towel while there is chrysanthemum being sprayed in the background, and yeah, you have to wait 6 weeks for an appointment. Nothing has ever been more on brand than that exactly right there. Don't shake your head. You didn't have to tell America your expensive haircuts. You went down that road. I just followed you down the road. It's all true. Uh-huh. What, Wilds? Defend yourself. Then I'll give my answer. Defend yourself. Go ahead.
Nick, your barber comes to the office. You get house called barbers. The guy comes. That's the most decadent thing I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. That is correct, and now I'll get us back on track. However, the key word there was barber, not hairstylist specialist or whatever you call your person.
Not hairstylist.
Who has a PhD in your proof, whatever it is. All right, now, to answer your question, Jenna Wolf, the Cowboys Super Bowl window is as open as ever. Why? Man, that talent on that roster is undeniable, and if Mike McCarthy, hell, I'm being led to believe Mike McCarthy was being held down by the anchor around his neck that was Aaron Rodgers. He had to carry that bum for years. If you listen to the people in Green Bay now, so you have Mike McCarthy now, a huge upgrade on Jason Garrett. You have all this talent. You have a Super Bowl, super winnable division. Jenna, the window is as open as ever. What do you say, Brian?
You know what? I think the window is as open as ever as well. I say it's wide open. I also think because Jerry Jones probably had some eucalyptus towels on that yacht that he was drafting from the other night. It probably is going to be as open. But I think you're right, Nick. They have just as good as a quarterback, wide receiver, running back as any team in the league. And Mike McCarthy, the quarterback whisperer, should be able to bring this team offensively around. The one thing that will slow things down is a little bit of this Dak conversation as far as him getting a long-term deal and that defense. How good can that defense be? Last year, the offense was really good. However, the defense didn't step up to the plate. The only thing that can slow this team down and allowing this window to close a little bit is that defense.
So this is, I went with Nick's hair here before the segment even started and we went off on this tangent because I FaceTimed my mom yesterday. And my mom, out of nowhere, we're talking about how are you doing, quarantine, the kids, da-da-da. She's like, Kevin, I think Nick's hair looks great. He's got a lot to work with, and I think it's really good. So it reminded me of the Cowboys. They had such a great draft. They got a lot to work with. I think their championship window is great. That's a true story. My mom, and I don't know if you've seen this. But she thinks it looks great now. It's a true story.
Thank you. Tell your mom I said thank you.
All right, let's move on. By the way, if they don't get a deal done with Dak, that is going to be a distraction the entire season. We all know that. On to the Texans now, who just exercised franchise quarterback Deshaun Watson's fifth-year option. See, Nick, Bill O'Brien knows exactly what he's doing. Unless he did this by mistake. Maybe it was an accident that he exercised that. Deshaun's future with the Houston Texans is blank.
Oh, you know, I said relieving, and I'll just be totally honest, I misread the question. I thought it was the Texans' decision to pick up his fifth-year option, and I said it was relieving because I thought Bill O'Brien might forget. He only had five more days. I thought he might be so busy getting out-negotiated by the kid who was wearing a gas mask bong on draft day that he'd be like, damn it, I knew there was something on my list.
Wow.
Deshaun's fifth-year option. Window closed. And so I apologize. It doesn't really make sense. Deshaun Watson's future with the Texans is going to be fun because he's great. But their decision to pick up a fifth-year option is relieving because I thought Bill O'Brien might forget. I screwed this up. I apologize. I was going for the joke, and I didn't read the question right. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I appreciate that. I think his future with the Texans is certain. Any team, and every team in the NFL, is looking for a quality leader. They're looking for a guy that can run the football, can move around in the pocket, can throw the ball, that can make every single throw. These are all the things that Deshaun Watson could do. He's a guy that can get things done and move the chains offensively. So I think his future there in Texas is going to be is certain. But I also think that Bill O'Brien has to do a much better job to everyone. A surprise. He has to do a much better job of putting weapons around him, making better GM decisions and coaching decisions if he wants to continue to allow Deshaun Watson to be successful in the quarterback position.
Yeah, my answer is Bill O'Brien focused too. I went with emotional because there's been two big quotes that are diametrically opposed from one's from Deshaun Watkins and one's from Watson. One's from DeAndre. So here's the first one. Here's Deshaun on Bill O'Brien. I love that man. This is after they got rolled by the Chiefs. I love that man. I'm going to play hard for that man. You can say whatever you want to say through all the media and all the writing, but as long as I'm the quarterback, he's cool with me. He's got my heart. He's going to get all my 110% every time I step on that field. Now let's go to the DeAndre Hopkins one in Sports Illustrated article. There was no relationship. Make sure you put that in there. There's not a lot to speak about. I am shocked that they're talking about the same guy. So it just shows such an up and down relationship of what's going on with the Texans. I went with emotional, Jenna.
And that's the way their last couple years have been, very up and down. All right, on to the New Orleans Saints now, who officially signed Jameis Winston to a one-year deal yesterday. Saints assistant GM Jeff Ireland said, quote, Jameis will learn more football in a year than he has in his lifetime. Look, I'd imagine his first lesson is going to be something along the lines of interceptions are bad. Nick, Jeff Ireland's comments on Jameis Winston are blank.
Jenna, shots.
I say they're
You're
shady.
Right. It was too much.
Because he's throwing a lot of shade towards Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich and Dirk Cutter, who came before them. The idea that Jameis's problem is that he hasn't learned enough football It's just ludicrous. Now, these aren't the most ridiculous comments Jeff Ireland's made in his football career. That's a long list. But these are shady comments, kind of an indictment of his previous coaching, which I think is unfair, Brian.
Well, I completely disagree. I think these comments are spot on. You can't deny Jameis's talent. He can make every throw inside the number. He can make every throw outside the number. The biggest question about Jameis, and the one thing that he has to work on, is his decision making. And that can be with some coaching. Some coaching can say, you know what, this throw is great at this point in the game. However, in the fourth quarter, you can't make that same throw. And that's the one thing that Jameis has to figure out. And I think being around Drew Brees, being around Sean Payton, being in that quarterback room, learning how to study, learning situational football is what he'll learn there in New Orleans, something that he's had trouble with throughout his career in the NFL.
You know what I thought was interesting, Jenna? I went with a choose-your-own-adventure book here. Because you got two number one picks. You got Jameis and Cam. Jameis says he wants to go to the Saints because it's like the Harvard University of quarterback school. And Cam is like, I'm a number one guy. I'll just wait out till someone gets hurt because I'm a starter. They're two totally different paths that the former number one picks are taking. I'm interested to see who turns out to make the better decision.
I like it. Nick, why am I rooting for Jameis Winston always? Because
he was on Hard Knocks once. I mean, it's unbelievable.
All you got to do is be on Hard Knocks. He's my guy.
That's why you like it.
Yeah. Watches Hard
Knocks.
You'll
get caught up. Anyone on Hard Knocks is
my guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's my favorite show. Welcome back. Check in with the Cleveland Browns. So much hype heading into last season, only to end up a disappointing 6-10. So much hype surrounding Baker Mayfield, only for him to end up with the second most interceptions in the league. And that all brings us to this year, where once again the expectations are high with all that talent. In fact, Browns GM Andrew Berry said Baker is focused and determined to put 2019 behind him. Nick, what do you think? Is this a make or break season for Baker's future in Cleveland with the Browns?
Sure appears that way. All his rabbis are gone. John Dorsey's gone. His head coaches are gone. His offensive coordinator's gone. It's new everybody, and it's people that don't have a loyalty or a tie to Baker Mayfield. And after this season, the Browns have to make an incredibly important decision. Do you pick up Baker Mayfield's fifth-year option, which, because he plays quarterback and he was the number one pick of the draft, will be north of $25 million? It's a decision that the Chicago Bears are having to make about Mitch Trubisky here in the next few days. They assuredly are not going to do that. But basically, you've got to decide on these guys through 3 years if you want to tie yourself to them long-term. And Baker has to play better. Fortunately for Baker, Kevin, it's very simple. Stop turning the ball over, man. That's the genesis of all of his problems. In his career, they're 7-2 when he doesn't turn the ball over. Last year, they were a good team in games where he didn't turn the ball over multiple times, but they were 1-6 in games where he had 2+ turnovers. Take care of the football, Baker, and the talent around you. And Odell, and Jarvis, and Chubb, and Njoku, and Hooper. And now you got Wirfs the tackle, and you signed Conklin, the other tackle. You have the roster around you to support you. Kevin, he just has to not turn the ball over at a ridiculous rate, and he'll be fine. But if he does turn the ball over the way he did last year, then yeah, this is a break year as far as make or break for Baker.
So I think his interceptions will come down, Nick, but I'm also sort of intrigued by this idea that he plays kind of like with his gut and he's looking to make plays, and maybe our interceptions are kind of just part of the bargain you get when you get Baker Mayfield. It's kind of like Farvian. But the third year thing that you said I think is fascinating, and it reminded me of this NBC book I read. It was called Top of the Rock, and it was all about must-see TV. And it was about running a sitcom or like NYPD Blue. And it's similar to this third year thing you were talking about. It said, when you have a star, I think they're talking about Cheers with Ted Danson. So it said, the first year, they work for you. The second year, you work together. And then the third year, you work for them. So the showrunner went from Ted Danson working for him to him working for Ted Danson. That's the way it's supposed to go. But now Baker looks around and be like, Kevin Stefanski's like, I don't work for you. You still work for me. And I don't know if the whole thing is going to work because, like you said, there's no loyalty to anyone there to Baker.
It's an interesting point, Wilds. Brian, let me ask you, like Nick said, though, there shouldn't be any excuses for Baker Mayfield now. He's got his new head coach. He's got all his receivers. There's so much talent up and down that roster. Is this a make or break year for Baker?
Well, I think it is. And I think Nick is right. When you talk about coaches and when they change and the guys that they bring in, it really just depends on the guys that they drafted. Coaches are tied to the people that they drafted. And obviously, Kevin Stefanski, who was in charge of bringing accountability, culture, and character to this organization, did not draft Baker Mayfield. But, you know, more importantly than the quarterback-coach relationship, I think Baker Mayfield this year has to be more accountable to his teammates. You have Jarvis. You have Odell Beckham Jr. You have Chubb. You have all those great players on your offense. He has to be more accountable to them. If you want Odell Beckham Jr. there after this season, you have to make sure that you are a winning quarterback. If you want Jarvis there, you want this type of talent around you continuously throughout your career, you have to be a winning quarterback. He has to be more accountable to his teammates and the guys around him. If he does that, he'll cut down on some of those mistakes that he's made, and he'll turn that team into a winning football franchise.
Nick, how much of last year's 6-10 record do you place on Baker Mayfield? I mean, was it all his fault? We had character issues. There were issues, leadership issues up and down. There were locker room issues. But how much of it was on Baker Mayfield? Is he the guy that can actually turn this franchise around for a couple years?
Well, I think he's the guy that can turn the franchise around for a decade. How on the field, he was the biggest part of the problem. But their biggest problem last year is they had the worst head coach in the NFL. I mean, let's be honest here. Freddie Kitchens had no business being an NFL head coach. He was out of his depth. He had no idea what he was doing.
Don't hold back, Nick.
It's the sport where head coach matters the most. And so when you have a quarterback who's playing terribly and turning the ball over, an incompetent head coach, the guy maybe with the most physical talent on your roster, was most known for bonking a quarterback on the head with the item designed to protect the quarterback's head. And the second most talented guy on your roster, his most notable moment was probably wearing a watch or a visor that made the whole nation have a panic attack. It is a perfect storm for Sut. And it's kind of a miracle they even won 6 games, that they were alive for the playoffs with a month left in the year. Miles Garrett will be on his best behavior. Odell's jewelry won't be as big of an issue, at least to people with common sense. Kevin Stefanski is better just by showing up, and then it's on Baker. And one of the problems for Baker Wilds is this. He believes he's a better athlete than he is. He gets himself in trouble by trying to escape and run around like he's Kyler Murray, much less Lamar Jackson, and he's not that. He needs to do what a lot of people said, take a page out of Drew Brees' book, get on your tiptoes when you need to within the pocket to look over the line and try to deal from the pocket. I know it sounds old school football, but if you're going to try to be a scrambling, run around quarterback, you got to be a better athlete than Baker is. I think Baker's done the right things this offseason, said the right things, kept his head down. But ultimately, it's as simple as stop turning the damn ball over, Baker. Wilds, to me, that's the biggest issue now that Freddie Kitchens is gone.
So I'm going to throw it to Brian here. So, Brian, if it's that simple, why doesn't he just do it? Or is there something to the fact that, hey, this is the way I play. This is what got me here. This is how I played when I was a little kid, and I'm going to keep doing it. Can he turn it around, or is it so ingrained in him that he can't change?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is the way that he played. This is how he typically did things at Oklahoma. He did things at high school, early part of his college career, because he normally was one of the best players on the field. However, in the NFL, he's not one of the best athletes. And so now he has to understand, don't force it. Don't lose this game for this football team. Put the ball in Jarvis Landry's hands. Put the ball in Odell Beckham Jr.'s hands. Put the ball in Nick Chubb's hands. And Joku. Put the ball in those guys' hands. You don't have to win every single game with your arm. You don't have to make every single play. Allow these guys to make it. A 3-yard pass to Odell Beckham Jr. is just as good as you scrambling around for 7-8 seconds and then trying to throw a deep ball, because Odell Beckham Jr. can take a 3-yard route and turn it into a 70-yard route. So don't force anything. Allow the game to come to you, and understand the talent around you is much better than what you are right now as the quarterback in the pocket.
And here's the other thing the Browns have going for him, Jenna. And I know you probably don't like to hear this because on your list of your power rankings of teams you root against, the Browns are at the very top. The Chiefs are at the second because you like to see me feel pain, but the Browns are at the top. When you look at the AFC, and by the way, we now live in a world where seven teams make the playoffs. Kansas City and Baltimore lock them in for the postseason. They are clearly the class of the conference. Who else is there that's a known quantity? Pittsburgh's got a quarterback who's got a repaired elbow that we don't know what he weighs and we don't know what his health is. New England doesn't have a quarterback. The Texans don't have a coach.
What?
The Raiders and Broncos have questions about their quarterback. Like, the Titans just brought Ryan Tannehill back. So when you look, there's going to be five other teams other than the Chiefs and Raiders that make the playoffs out of the AFC. So the Browns absolutely can bounce back, win 9 or 10 games and be a playoff team. It's out in front of them. They're not in the NFC, which is clearly the more loaded conference, but it all starts with Baker not turning the ball over like that, Jenna.
But Nick, going into last season, everyone had the Browns just, you know, picking up where they left off the year before. Yeah. And everyone said on paper, this is such a talented team. And what happened? They combusted. So yes, on paper, they are very talented.
Everyone
if
but
Baker
you,
can sort of tap into what his, everyone, me and Mangini, no, Mangini was with me. If Baker can tap into what he did his rookie year, they've got a chance. Albeit a tiny, tiny, like that big, but it's still a small chance. All right, time now for stories to start your morning. The NFL has determined that Tom Brady did not break any offseason workout rules by visiting the house of Bucs offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, with the league determining it was, quote, a brief personal visit where Brady picked up the Bucs playbook. So which was it, Nick, personal or team related? Well, it's hard to say. No harm, no foul, though, right? Sorta?
It's not hard to say. Listen, I get it. The NFL's got a lot going on right now. We all do. And they don't have time to deal with this. So, yeah, just fine. Whatever, Tom. We're used to you skirting the rules with New England. It's unfortunate you're bringing that part of Patriot way to Tampa. But we've got other fish. We got bigger fish to fry. But if you read the story, because why do we know about this? We know about this because he, of course, went into Byron Leftwich's neighbor's house. He walks into Leftwich's neighbor's house. And according to the, you know, the eyewitness testimony, he dropped two big duffel bags on the ground. I don't know about you guys, but when I am picking up a small item from someone for a momentary visit, I don't very often carry luggage with me. Like, carry it to the door, hand me my playbook, now I'm on my way. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. However, I do wild have a theory now about him going to the wrong person's house. I will defend Brady on this.
Oh boy,
my guess is Byron Leftwich didn't want to break the rules. So he told Brady, go to my neighbor's house so that way you never step into my actual house and we can talk shop across the fence like old Tim the Toolman Taylor with his neighbor. Talk across the fence. And Leftwich didn't give the neighbor the heads up. So Brady thought they were, you know, part of, you know, a little tradecraft type of situation to where they wouldn't be breaking any rules. The neighbor didn't know, and the whole thing blew up on him. But luckily for Brady, he's not going to be punished anyway. So, you know, another repeat offender getting off light, white-collar crime. Once again, no punishment for it, Wild.
Okay, well, Brian, he didn't break any rules. That's the official ruling, despite what Nick just said. And the two duffel bags, although we don't have any confirmed reports what's in them, it's all the Patriots plays. That's how well-crafted the Patriots playbook is. You have to carry them in two duffel bags. Then Bruce Arians will go through and pick out the plays he wants.
You know, guys, I mean, I think this is kind of black and white, and the rules are very, very simple. You can't have any contact with your coaches in the offseason, and this is part of the offseason. And for the NFL to come out and say that he didn't break any rules, then you mean to tell me that the NFL doesn't have any rules? Because for Tom Brady and the Patriots of the past, they can do anything they want. But for at this point, he's in Tampa Bay. And if you're telling me you can't touch the coaches, you can't be in contact with coaches, whether it's for 1 minute or for 1 hour, then Tom Brady broke the rules and he should be punished for it. I'm not a Brady hater, which I've been claimed to be on Twitter and Instagram, but I think the rules are put there for a purpose. No other team would have been allowed these types of visits, and Tom Brady shouldn't be either.
exactly right.
Two words exactly for you, Tom Brady.
I'm a Stidham
guy,
so. Fax
machine. Next time. All right, on to Brady's former team. If you think the Patriots will take this... You didn't like that. If you think the Patriots will take this season off to wait and draft the projected number one overall pick, Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, you can think again. Peter King saying he would be shocked if Belichick tanked for Trevor. But Brian, is this something that maybe the Patriots should consider?
You know what? I don't know that you should consider it, because if I was on a football team, let's just say I was a veteran on that team, and my coach started even mentioning tanking or not playing up to our potential, I'm like, hold on, coach, this is maybe my last season. It's probably certainly my last season in New England, and I don't have time in my career to tank. Just think about back to that Jordan documentary. He was fighting to come back his second year just to play and try to help his team. They put him on a minutes restriction. He wanted to help him, his team win. He didn't want to allow his team to tank to try to get a better draft pick. I can't see Bill Belichick, who has the same mentality as the great Michael Jordan, ever saying to his team, who has one of the best defenses in the league last year, by the way, that we're going to try to tank so we can get a better quarterback. Bill Belichick is more like, hey, I'll take the 199th pick in the sixth round, Tom Brady, and we'll find a way to win with him, rather than we'll tank to try to get the best quarterback next season.
You know, in the trademark office, Nick, that you can't trademark or patent perpetual motion machines. They just reject them. They're like, there's zero chance this happened. Don't even submit the paperwork. That's what this is. There is zero chance. The only reason that this is sort of has a heartbeat is because people have not gotten on the Stidham train. No, take it down, Katanik. Oh, my. I'm a Stidham guy now. I'm a Stidham guy. Enough. Paul, you can kill that music unless we get a Photoshop of Stidham. It's not happening. I'm pro Stidham 2021 and beyond.
All right, listen, this is not happening for a number of reasons, not the least of which they have the best coach in the NFL. Last year they had the number one defense in the NFL. And so this is totally implausible to begin with. In order to get Trevor Lawrence, you're going to have to win one or two games maximum. There is no chance the Patriots in that division with that defense, with that coach, tank. I still think they can win the division. If they would have scored 15 points per game last year, they would have won 11 football games. They won 12. Like, the defense and coaching staff is enough. With respect to my friend Colin Cowherd, who keeps talking about this, and I'll talk with Colin about this later today at 12:30 on The Herd, shameless plug there. I think he's out of his mind. I personally don't think it makes any sense whatsoever, Wilds, as far as this being a viable option for them.
Now, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever for the Patriots, but he is a generational talent. They say he would have gone number one this draft if he came out. So I think it does make sense for Washington. Nick, do you like any team out here? I know you say, like, tanking's impossible, but Washington, they might not even have to tank. They just might lose enough games to get him. But it's not like tanking for Trevor is not a thing that's going to happen.
Here's the thing, and Brian, I'll kick it to you. I do think he is the type of franchise-changing talent that if you could just throw a season away, it would be worth it if you don't have a quarterback. I think it would be worth it. Smart business. I just don't think you can do that in the NFL. I think there's, A, too few games. There's too much randomness. And the game's too dangerous. I don't think you can trade away all your players the way Miami did. They still, the final nine games of last year, had a winning record. They had a better record than the Patriots the final nine games of last year, actually. So, Brian,
draft?
I don't think tanking is a thing that can actually happen in the NFL because of the nature of the sport.
I absolutely agree with you there. It's just hard to tank. How do you tank if you're an offensive lineman? You say, okay, I'm not going to block the defensive lineman. I'm not going to actually do my job, the one thing that I'm put on the field for. If I'm a wide receiver, I'm tanking. I'm not going to catch the ball. I'm not going to look it all the way in. And here's the other thing. You can tank in the NBA because guys have guaranteed contracts. In the NFL, it's about what have you done for me lately, and it stands for not for long. If you don't look good as a player because you're dropping balls, because you're tanking, or you're not blocking because you're tanking, or you're not getting that first down because you're tanking, that means you may not have a job next year. And it's not going to be the coach that would be without a job. It's going to be the players. So for the players, it just doesn't make any sense because the contracts are not guaranteed. But also, if you're at the end of your career, just remember, if you're at the end of your career, a career that, you know, went well without injury, why would I ever risk tanking when you have a chance, to your point, Nick, to win that division? The Patriots are still the class of that division. No other team has the type of pedigree that the Patriots have. And so, to me, tanking just is not an option for that football team.
So here's the only argument against that, Nick. They started talking about tanking for Tua in 2018, and then the Dolphins tanked and then won some games, and then they drafted Tua. So the idea that it didn't work or should be dismissed out of hand, Tua's going to be in a Dolphins jersey. So it's either like it works or it works like a broken clock is right twice a day. They got Tua in a roundabout weird way. It kind of worked.
Well, yeah, it worked, I would argue, because of the incompetence of the teams ahead of them in the draft. It worked because Tua got, unfortunately, a gruesome hip injury that made him fall. And it didn't. Their plan was not, we're going to trade away all our players so we have the fifth worst record in the NFL. Their plan was, we're going to trade away all our players so we have the worst record in the NFL. But there's always going to be a team that, even if they're trying, like Detroit was trying their hardest. Their coach thought his job was on the line, and they ended up with a better draft pick than Miami. And again, That's true. Patriots have won double-digit games every year dating back to 2000, starting in 2003. They won 11 games with Matt Castle, and I understand that team was 16-0 the year before, so it's not apples to apples. But I just, the idea that New England has the talent in order to fall off like this, I think is ridiculous. And it totally disregards the idea that Belichick's ego matters in this. That Bill Belichick would want the narrative to be Brady left and you became the worst team in basketball, or the worst team in football, pardon me. Speaking of basketball, that, of course, is what happens when the true goat of American sports, LeBron James, leaves the team. And that's a perfect way to end today's show.
Oh, my God.
Appreciate you guys watching. Undisputed is next. We got him in for the 18th straight show. See y'all tomorrow, America.